My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Joe Biden turned 79 on Saturday as a majority of voters say he's too old to be president, and Democrats start to worry about 2024. Welcome, I'm Kyle Peterson with the Wall Street Journal. We're joined today by my colleagues, WSJ columnists Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel. Bill, there was a remarkable series of news cycles last week about Vice President Kamala Harris. It started with a CNN report that aired griping from her circle that the vice president is not being set up to succeed. And then her communications director said she would resign. And to my eye, what this is about is mainly 2024. And there are growing concerns that maybe Biden does not plan to run for re-election, although he is insisting that he will.
Yeah, I think we discussed this last week. You know, in many ways, in most ways, the Kamala Harris problem is a Joe Biden problem. Kamala Harris really doesn't have that much to do. And also, vice presidents typically, they sort of play the bad cop in the relationship. They're assigned the dirty tasks. I mean, Dick Cheney used to do that when I worked for George W. Bush. You know, you gave him some of the harder things so the president can do some of the easier things, right, for this. And, you know, so they gave her the border. And when there's no solution, it's kind of hard to blame her because there's no solution there. They're not serious about doing anything. So no wonder she doesn't want to go anywhere near it. Look, everyone is watching Joe Biden's decline, you know, as it's happening on TV. It's kind of a sad thing to watch sometimes. It's like watching someone on a tightrope. You're wondering if they're going to fall off. You just compare how he comes across now with even 4 or 5 years ago, you know, when he was vice president, and he seemed a lot more vigorous. Of course, he says he's running in 2024. The moment a president says he's not running, you know, in his first term, that's the moment everyone starts to look to after that. You know, he has to sort of keep people at bay by saying that he is running. I don't believe he will, but I think he has to say it. And Democrats are looking around. They're seeing this guy with his rating who came in, you know, promising to restore us to normal and that the economy would be ticking again, COVID would be defeated, all these good things would happen, the world would respect us. None of it's happening. He's moved from one mistake to another, you know, from the disaster in Afghanistan to inflation, which, you know, all his people first denied. And people are nervous about what comes next. There's no, they look at Kamala Harris and they say, gee, there's no plan B.
Well, Biden had his 79th birthday on Saturday, and there were concerns about his age that were quietly raised during the 2020 campaign. And it seems to me they were sort of tamped down. And Democrats, their priority was getting President Trump out of the White House. And so they had bigger fish to fry, essentially. But there's been some interesting polls recently. There's a Harvard-Harris poll. Here's the question. Do you think Joe Biden is showing he is too old to be president, or do you think he is showing he is fit to be president? And voters overall, 58% say too old. And among Democrats, it's 27%. Among independents, it's 63%. Kim, that strikes me as a real problem for President Biden, but also just for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but to your point, nobody cared when it mattered. And it's kind of remarkable when you think about it. There was a huge crowd of Democrats who ran in the presidential primary, including some pretty young, youthful faces in there, like a Pete Buttigieg, for instance. And yet, the Democratic primary ended up coming down to Joe Biden, who, as you say, just turned 79, and Bernie Sanders, a guy who actually had a heart attack while he was campaigning. And this was the thing. And now I bear a lot of responsibility or put a lot of responsibility on the media here. This has traditionally been the media's job, which is to direct a lot of scrutiny at not just candidates' positions, but at their health and well-being, to ask those difficult questions. Nobody wanted it to touch it all during the rest of the campaign after Joe Biden won. As has long been discussed, he spent most of that campaign hiding in his basement. I don't think a lot of Americans got a chance to fully appreciate and evaluate his ability to handle that job because his appearances were simply so infrequent. He did manage to make it through two debates with Donald Trump. One of them was basically a blowout because they yelled at each other the entire time. And so, look, really, there was kind of one big audition there, and then, boom, the guy is president of the United States. And now you're having a little bit, I believe, of buyer's remorse. Probably even a lot of those folks that voted for Biden simply because they couldn't bear the idea of Donald Trump being returned to office have, you know, sitting there now wondering if this guy's going to make it through the next 3 years. And, of course, there's a long history here as well, too, of too many politicians in Washington staying in their jobs too long to the point where people do wonder if they're mentally fit enough to have those positions they hold.
But if some of these voters did not see Biden really in action or enough in action during the 2020 campaign, it seems like they are seeing him now. And we have a couple of clips here. The first one is Biden at an event speaking about the Prime Minister of Australia, whose name he is struggling to recall.
And I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate it, Mr. Prime Minister.
And the other one is a similar moment, and Biden here is talking about his own defense secretary.
And I want to thank the former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there. I want to make sure we thank the secretary for all he's done.
And on one hand, Bill, let he who has never had a moment like that cast the first stone. But on the other hand, when you look at a poll where a majority of voters say that Biden is too old to be president, I mean, I think that's part of what they're reacting to.
Yeah, I think they're looking at kind of a disastrous record. Again, I think Afghanistan is right at the top of this. And, you know, the 2020 campaign was almost perfectly tailored for Joe Biden because of COVID. He didn't have to come out that often, little short bursts, you know, from his bunker in Wilmington. But when you're president, you have to be out there. And it just people are noticing. People are noticing he won't take questions from the press. Right? I mean, he just won't answer things. And when he does answer, as you just showed with some of those tapes, he looks very foggy. Again, I forget the names of my children sometimes, even when I'm yelling at him. We all have those, but these are strung together, and it's just leading a lot of people to conclude this is a guy not up for the job. Whatever the state of his mental acuity is, he just does not look up to the job. And I think they're making, you know, with each appearance, he makes people a little more nervous watching about it. And it's hard to blame people for this conclusion.
And the comparison, Kim, that comes to mind to me at least, as you mentioned the 2020 debates, the comparison that comes to mind to me is Biden in 2012 as vice president debating Paul Ryan. And the contrast couldn't be more clear. In 2012, he was aggressive, almost over the top aggressive in those debates. And it seems obvious to me that there's some change as you get older. You lose your fastball, and there's no shame in that, but it happens.
Actually, let's just take Biden in 2020, last year. and it is quite remarkable and a little scary because every once in a while you'll be watching cable news and they'll pull up a clip of him when he was back more in the primary before we ended in the COVID situation. So maybe a little bit longer than a year ago. Some of those events where he was out and quite loosely walking around and engaging with the audience, he had his moments, but he looks like an entire entirely different person than he does now. In particular, you can see one thing that's very notable is just his walk, which has become a lot more hesitant and stiff. This is something that was brought up in the context of the physical he's recently had, that and some of those mental lapses. And again, this is no specific criticism of Joe Biden himself, not in any way to suggest that somehow he is less of a quality, healthy human specimen than anyone else. It's just the fact that as we get older, we age. And, you know, obviously there was so much talk at Reagan's last years, whether he was entirely fit to be there. But you have to make that comparison too. He seemed to be a lot more on the ball than the president that we have, who is only now starting his term.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. Bill, how much information does the president owe the public about his health in the context of, we're talking about this, Biden got a physical on Friday and the White House released a 6-page letter here. There are some bullet points, non-valvular atrial fibrillation, acid reflux, seasonal allergies, but essentially concludes that he is a healthy guy. And just so people don't think we're being partisan with this question or too partisan, recall Ronnie Jackson, President Trump's physician, saying, "I told the president if he had a healthier diet over the last 20 years, he might live to be 200 years old." And so, Bill, what is the public supposed to make of these statements?
Well, I'm not sure how much to make of the statements. I think it's good. I think people certainly have an interest in the health of the president and whether he can do the job. But often it's not what's in the reports, but what's not in the reports that is really determinative, and we don't know. So I sometimes suspect that the reports can hide as much as they're showing. You know, you can talk about all sorts of minor things and so forth, and just gloss over. You know, at the end of the day, it's not the doctor who gets to make the decision whether the president is fit for office. It's the American voter there, and they're going to watch and draw their own conclusions. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how much, a report from a White House doctor says. I did notice that Dr. Jackson was on TV attacking this report, you know, by his successor who's taking care of Joe Biden. So I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV, so I'm not equipped to make a medical diagnosis, but I think anyone that watches Joe Biden has to have serious questions about whether he could do the job of the president.
And the job of the president is a really tough one, and constant questions. This is a job where someone may wake you up at 3 a.m. and say, "Mr. President, the Chinese fleet is moving towards Taiwan. What do you want to do about it?" One notable quote, I think, is President Carter. He said this in 2019, "If I were just 80 years old, if I was 15 years younger, I don't believe I could undertake the duties I experienced when I was president," unquote. And so, Kim, this is the context where a new spotlight is shining on Kamala Harris, and Democrats are getting a little nervous about what they see.
Well, your point about how difficult physically and mentally it is to be president, just look at men who have taken that job that are significantly younger than Joe Biden and how they aged in office. I remember being really struck by George W. Bush and the amount of gray hair that came in just a few years and how much different he looked at the end of that 8 years and at the beginning, the exact same with Barack Obama. It's an incredibly physically demanding job. And so that's why when Joe Biden tells allies that he's actually planning to run in 2024, the people I talk to in Washington, they actually snort a little bit at this. Nobody believes it. it. Just because if you look at him now, it's very difficult to see him improved in 3 years, and certainly not likely to have the physical stamina necessary to run a whole another campaign. So yeah, this is the focus on Kamala Harris. And my argument is that it's bad news for the White House, because when you end up with an heir apparent, and that was why she was chosen, and that's what vice presidents serve as, is the person who's meant to take the mantle. But when you have one where there are doubts about their ability to do it, especially this early on, the natural process in politics is that the long knives are going to come out, because there's going to be a lot of other people in that party that would like to assume that position and like to be considered the anointed, the next one to come along. And so the attacks on her are going to continue. They won't be open. You're not going to have a Pete Buttigieg say, yeah, the Veep is washed out and you really ought to look at me instead. But there'll be leaks to the press. There'll be a lot of maneuvering behind the scenes. And these stories are going to keep coming. And the White House will end up having to spend a lot of time putting out those fires and defending their vice president or not, rather than dealing with issues of the day.
What about a moment for the defense here, the defense of Kamala Harris? I mean, what her circle would say is, listen, other vice presidents have also struggled to find a role for themselves. That's particularly true when the president who's coming into office knows his way around town. He's been in Washington before. And so what do you do as vice president? I mean, one of the models is an outsider president, maybe a governor who doesn't have a lot of Washington experience, picks a Washington insider to be his vice president to help him find the levers of power. And that's the opposite of the case here. And second, what they would say is that President Biden has given Kamala Harris some really difficult tasks. First, he said she's going to take the lead on handling immigration and the border crisis. Second, she's going to take the lead on getting these voting bills through Congress, which is not going to happen, it looks like, because there's a filibuster in the Senate that is not going to be busted. And so, Bill, are her defenders correct here that she's not being set up to succeed?
Well, I would say that they're correct to this point. She has not been given a good hand because she's defending Biden's hand, the hand Biden gave her. You know, the border thing is the worst because she sort of has the responsibility without the authority. She can't unilaterally impose policies that would fix things even if she were inclined to do so. So I think she has a legitimate complaint about what they're doing. On the other hand, one of the problems with Kamala Harris is that, you know, her whole resume has really been on identity politics. You know, when the Democratic primaries first started, she was a woman of color from a very large blue state, you know, California. And I thought she would do a lot better than she did. And in fact, in the first debate, if you remember, she walked all over Joe Biden, implying he was a racist for some of the policies he'd supported in the past. And she really had Joe Biden on the ropes in that first debate. I think she dominated that. But then the second debate, Joe Biden came prepared and pushed back. And then we saw the Kamala Harris that people are seeing now. When she's asked a tough question or put on the spot, she kind of giggles and has no answer. And I don't think that Joe Biden helped her that when he said he was choosing his vice president, he promised to pick a woman. In other words, he didn't say, I'm going to pick the best Democrat out there to be the best vice president. You know, he played to the Democratic choir on identity politics. And now they're stuck with her. But I think their bigger problem, again, is that they're stuck with Joe Biden.
Well, let me offer a moment for the prosecution then. And the Kamala Harris's approval rating in one of these recent polls is 28%, which is pretty dismal. And her defenders are saying it's because of this unfairness. She's not being set up to succeed. But I also think you have to take a longer view of this, Kim, which is that her 2020 campaign, presidential campaign, did not go well. She had that breakout moment in that debate attacking Joe Biden, but she dropped out of the campaign before any of the votes were cast. And if you look at some of the polling when that happened, she was in seventh place in South Carolina, which is a state where most of the Democratic primary voters are black voters. And she was behind, a guy like Andrew Yang, which is a hard place to be. And then to be elevated to vice president and say, well, no one likes me now. I mean, she was struggling all throughout 2020.
She was the first top-tier candidate to drop out of the race. And let's not forget, too, it was a horrible campaign. As Bill mentioned, she had a moment or two in the debates, but all of the backstories and especially the autopsies afterward pointed to a campaign where she constantly had shifting positions. She never did or couldn't figure out where she was on the crucial issue of health care within that race. Lots of staff turnover. There was a lot of dysfunction in that campaign. And yet the White House chose her. And as we know, the president had said he was going to choose a woman. And they sent the incredibly strong message that they were picking her as a basis more of identity politics than they were necessarily on her track record or her readiness to be vice president. I would also just a couple of things in terms of her and her now her complaints about being set up to fail. So, you know, she's taken on these two portfolios, immigration reform and also voting rights reform. She's not a lemming. She had a choice, obviously, undoubtedly, in those discussions about what would be her mandates as the vice president. She signed up to these. And by the way, she signed up to two issues that resonate with the liberal base, but were always going to be a huge problem for this administration, given the very bad policies that they are pursuing. Immigration, the border is not going to get fixed until the White House has a wholesale change in its policy direction, which isn't going to happen because of progressive demands. And her other issue of voting reform, election reform, that's not going to change in the Senate unless Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema suddenly decide they're going to get rid of the filibuster. So that's a dead end, too. She had a voice in this, presumably. She signed up for things that, you know, again, sounded good for a lot of people until you look at the political reality. So she bears a little responsibility for this as well.
But where does that leave Democrats in 2024? Bill, we'll give you the last word here. I mean, President Biden says he's running for re-election, which has a way of clearing the field. Vice President Kamala Harris is there, but keep an eye on Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, I'm not sure Pete Buttigieg is really the guy. Do the Democrats, if they have a problem with Joe Biden and they have a problem with Kamala Harris, is the former mayor of South Bend really the guy they want to hang their fortunes on? He's a little more glib than both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but I'm not sure that's the winning ticket for them. Look, they have a real problem because the man at the top there are questions about. He's saying he's going to run, so no one can openly kind of, you know, announce against him without a lot of problem. And as long as he says he's going to run, it kind of tamps down any opposing candidate who might otherwise emerge. But as people, you know, if it continues the way that it's continuing, I think with his approval ratings cratering, Kamala Harris's approval ratings even lower, and the developments that we've talked about in Congress, the future, I think, does not look really well for the Democratic Party in the next two elections.
Thank you, Bill and Kim. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Potomac Watch.